Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh. And today we're talking about the relevancy of the church. Is the church still relevant? That is a pre-Christmas conversation everybody is waiting to have.
Yay, let's go.
Yeah, so we want to ask the hard question. Does the church still matter? And I'm a 60-year Lutheran, right?
60 years Lutheran.
I was born and baptized and confirmed and graduated from a Concordia and called into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we're not necessarily talking so much about the Missouri Synod Church. But we want to look at, does the church still matter as a whole? It's easy for me to say because I work at a church. Oh, yeah, the church is really relevant, and this is why. But do you think to our culture today that the church is still relevant?
Yeah, I think, well, first, I think our podcast plan said January 1, so I think it's actually January 1st. We're
Happy
still,
New Year.
We can't imagine, like, we're church workers, so we can't imagine anything after Christmas right now, but we're actually, we're getting some stuff done for after Christmas, so
it's
we're,
true.
You know, so we're not dropping, so we're not recording right before Nate edits, but anyway, yeah, is the church still relevant? Yeah, it's a great question. I think, well, let's just start off here. The church is relevant because God says it is.
Amen.
Like at some level, like, so this is Matthew 16:18. This is Jesus. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Like the gates of hell won't. The world won't. The things that the world throws at it won't. Religious discrimination won't. Lawsuits won't. Persecution won't. And so I think it's really easy to look at kind of the press that the church gets, that it is declining and we are in decline, to say that it's over, that it's not relevant. But that would be to go overboard, I think. A, because God says the church isn't going to be overcome, and B, because the church still has a significant place in the lives of a lot of people.
Yeah. So what do you think is meant when people say the church is not relevant anymore or the church doesn't matter?
Yeah. I mean, some of it's the overbearing of the news. Like whenever there's anything negative, we freak out. The people that are leaving the church, there's been a lot of publicity around people that have been hurt by the church. Mm-hmm. And I think all those things are damaging and problematic. But yeah, I think that's what they mean, is that the church, and let's be honest, it's not what it used to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can go back to a time in the life of America. Well, for instance, even growing up, I'm 38 now. When I was growing up and as a kid, the question was, where do you go to church? Mm-hmm. Where do you go to church? Not do you go to church, but where do you go to church? Now, granted, I was small town, Bible Belt, Oklahoma, but still, like the fact that now, like bringing up the fact that you went to church on Sunday is kind of a little bit of a daring conversation. Now, I think it's an easy one to have. I think you just slip it in there, but, and I think you should try to do that. Slip that into your conversations on Monday at work that I went to church this weekend. But like, even that's a little bit, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Right? It's not normal to say that. It's not normal to talk about what church you go to. That's not an everyday average conversation. And so that would mean that the church is moving out of kind of the center of the world, kind of into the individual lives of its adherents, right? And I think that's true for the most part.
Yeah, I also grew up in the South, and we had the Baptist bus that would come down the road honking the horn, and you knew that was a good thing because they had donuts at the Baptist church.
Okay.
So you jump on, they'll take you for donuts. They didn't tell you about going to church.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not ride the Baptist bus.
Oh, look at you. You were a rebel.
Oh, no, I was a Lutheran, and there was no way my dad was going to let me on the Baptist bus. But yeah, it was just known. And you went to church on Sunday. Everybody did.
Yep.
Whether you went on the bus or you went with your family. And then you went out to lunch after.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in the Blue Law also.
Oh, yeah.
Where we could do nothing else. So everything was closed except you could go see a movie after, I think it was 5 maybe.
Yeah.
But if you went to the grocery store, the mops and the brooms and stuff, that aisle was closed up. anything that was work related.
Yeah.
They truly wanted a Sabbath, and the community supported that.
Yeah.
So going to church was a part of our fiber, a part of our fabric of what we did.
Yeah. And I think we do want to unwind a little bit from the relevancy of church and the relevancy of church and culture. I think there's a part of us that would always like our culture to follow God. And I think there's a point where that would be valuable. I want everybody to know Jesus. But it's interesting, you talk about blue laws. Like, my brother lived in Germany for 2 years, and they literally had sausage dispensers outside the grocery store.
Oh.
And the reason they did, because in Germany, now Germany's very secular, churches, there's not many churches there.
Right.
It's just not Christian. And in fact, there was at a wedding, I talked to a Lutheran pastor in Germany, and it was a woman, but she said that people want the church to get married and buried in, and they want the bells to ring, but like they have no desire to go to church. So she pastors like 4 different churches that she like goes around to. And Christmas Eve, they'll be packed. Everybody goes, but only on the cultural days. And so, but so you add all that together, Germany's very secular, but yet it has these rules. And so I think we got to be careful that we don't tie the two together. So what society does doesn't necessarily mean that the church isn't relevant. Just because society doesn't do blue laws or because people have sports on doesn't mean that the church doesn't have its place within the people that it does have an impact on. And I think that's what we get to celebrate and remember, that it does still have an impact on our lives, and we get to take the gospel out into the world and have an impact on others.
Yes. Very much so. All right. So if the church isn't about the tradition or the going through the motions, right? Then you're saying it's more about people than it is about programs, correct?
Yeah.
So where have we allowed programs to replace relationships?
Yeah. And I think this is part of the struggle with like being in church work. And so I think there was this move in church work that I think is valuable, but has its shadow side as well. And that's that value of in church work. We're not just going to have a service and then do nothing else. We want the church to be effective. And so and when I say effect,
well, we want it to be a part of your life. Right.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
like,
what I mean.
To
yeah,
me, that's where programs came from.
Right.
Hey, we just don't want it to be while you're in church.
Yeah.
We want it to be a part of your daily life.
Yeah. And that would what I would say effective.
Yeah.
That the gospel just isn't I get my Sunday dose and then I live my life. But no, you're being discipled and you're discipling others to grow up in Jesus.
Correct.
And I think the place of programs came from this. Well, how as a staff member do I know if I'm being effective?
Mm.
Well, one way I can, it's actually real easy, is I look who's showing up at my programs, right? And the problem is, the more and more I do that, the more and more I become focused on getting people to the programs, not about the relationships that are being built among the people.
Right.
And so I think it's a natural move, but it's one that we as Peace, we're not anti-program, but we have programs in order to
build relationships and build your relationship with Christ.
Right. And so our ultimate goal isn't that we have so many people showing up to this, that, or the other. Our ultimate goal is that we have people in deeper relationships with Jesus and deeper relationships with other people. And so, but we're not going to say that, well, programs are bad and don't have programs. I remember in seminary, I had some classmates that were like that. They didn't want to ever have a program. It's like, well, that's a little impossible for a church, because whenever there's people gathering together, there's some programmatic nature of it.
Right.
Like, let's face it, when we have you over for dinner, what do?
It's like games.
Well, but it's really not a program, but it is.
Mm.
We communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
We prepare for you to come.
Right.
Then we spend time together and we pull the games out when the kids go to bed.
Like, and then I win.
Right. No. Not look at the box. Just look at the box. But so like, but every relationship is in a sense the program, but the goal is the programs. It's not about the number of people that come to the programs. It's about how the programs are accomplishing the mission of connecting people to Jesus and other people.
Yeah, coming from a person who was caught in that ministry shift, right? So I learned program-based ministry in college. And it wasn't so much for the numbers, because they always said numbers don't matter, right? So we were caught in that
piece
too.
They do still.
But you wanted things that were bringing people in and causing them to want to grow, to want to be a part of the community, all those things, mm-hmm. right? But then we decided, well, here at Peace, we decided programs are bad. So get rid of programs, right? Okay, but you still have to have some things that are engaging people.
Yeah.
So we could have those, but we couldn't have programs. And there were times it was like, okay, I'm bad if I do and I'm bad if I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do here. And the truth is, I think we're in this really sweet spot right now where we do look at relationships. Are people gathering?
Mm-hmm.
Are they loving each other well? Are they growing in their relationship with Jesus? And do they feel more confident as they go out and share Jesus with their neighbors?
Yeah.
And then do they feel comfortable inviting their neighbors to church?
Yeah.
And that's the cycle we should really live in of not focusing on just, hey, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Because that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But that people want to feel known when they walk in the door, that they want to feel that they are part of something really important.
Yeah.
And that they're growing.
Yeah.
And they're growing successfully as they do that with their families too.
Yeah, yeah. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says something along this lines, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, right? It's that connection to Jesus that we do form the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
And that fullness of him as we gather. And then the ways that we gather, the programs, because let's face it, at one level, worship is a program. And so the church that says, well, we don't want to do programs. Well, if you're doing worship, technically that's a program, right? Now, it's more than just a program, but every program at church is more than just a program. It's how we're the fullness of him,
right.
The fullness of Jesus. It's how we do Jesus things when we gather, and we equip you and disciple you and help you lead doing Jesus things outside of here, right? Like that's, you know, what we get to do. And so all of the programs, if they don't have an effect in getting Jesus people to do Jesus things more often, then they're just numbers. They're just butts in the pews or dollars in the collection plate. But it's how do we be the people of God, the fullness of him.
Which is challenging. It's challenging mm-hmm. as a director of ministry operations. How's
you remembered
that?
It.
Yeah.
Good job.
Woo. But as director of ministry operations, it's as we bring those people in, we want to love them well. We want them to feel cared for. We want them to feel a part of this faith family, to grow in that relationship that they have with Jesus and to grow with other people. And it's a challenge to not go, oh, we had 55, I think that was our number, 55 new members this year. Okay, but now I got to ask myself on the other end, yay, praise God, we have 55. But were they assimilated into the church well? Mm. Did they connect with groups? Did they land in a place where they know their next step? Mm. And that's the challenge of my position is we can't just stop at the number. We got to look at what's next. And are they actively involved in the life of the church?
Yeah.
And that goes back. So how does that fit into this conversation? Well, the church is relevant and it's doing what it's called to do when it is impacting lives and it is moving forward.
Yeah, and so maybe like a little on, it might be good to like bring Acts like 2 into this conversation, right? And so this is after Pentecost, right? So Jesus dies on the cross, rises from the dead, ascends into heaven, and then he sends the Holy Spirit. And the end of Pentecost is this really cool thing about the fellowship of believers. And what it says, and this is Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And so it starts with that. And then it also says this at the very end of this section. This is the end of 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Mm.
And so it's fascinating that even in the book of Acts, so like we can have this, do numbers matter or don't they? Well, there's not a real clear cut answer to that. I think we can clearly focus too much on numbers and make it just about, well, how many new members did we have this year?
Right.
But we see God being faithful and adding to growing his kingdom.
Yes.
And our prayer is that we're a part of that. They were part of God's growing God's kingdom. But yet, the importance is that we're focusing on that teaching, on that fellowship, on that being together, that breaking of bread and prayer, that communion, that forgiveness of sins, that praying for one another. Like, those are the things that are important. And so, like, we can focus too much on who's coming in and not on what we're doing once we're here.
Right.
But we want to walk that balance of, yes, both of them matter. And I have to think, if we do the good job of doing the work of the ministry,
yes,
then God's going to be the one to add the numbers in his time.
Yes.
But we do want to watch the numbers and see what are going on. And if he's not adding, then why? Well, is something going on? Are we doing something to hinder his work? Yeah.
Well, and that's, somebody said this in a podcast that is going to be airing, but they talked about, well, the church, for the church to be attractional. Well, we don't want to just be attractional in any way, shape, or form. That's not our goal.
Yeah.
But our goal is kingdom growth.
Yeah.
And that's what the goal is.
Yeah.
And we don't want the big, although I would like a spotlight. I think that would be super cool. We don't need the spotlight or the glitter or the glitz or whatever.
Yeah.
We want a place that's authentically true to what God's called us to be in the lives of his people.
Yeah. Well, and that was interesting too. Maybe this is an offline comment, but I'm just going to say it now. Like, her word was attractive. She said attractive, and you heard attractional, which is a old line that's kind of now taboo in the church world, that we can't be attractional. We have to be, you know, missional or discipling, and it's this, all this, there's this loaded baggage of how the church has done it right and wrong, and that you kind of keyed on, and she keyed on it. She doesn't know, she doesn't have that baggage of that word in the badness of the church world that brings. And so, you know, she was fine to use it, but yeah, it's kind of fascinating. It's the struggle with the church is we're always looking at what we did right and wrong. And so we get to these weird places. But yeah, the church should, we shouldn't just exist to be attractional, just to have people in for the sake of it, but being attractive because we're speaking God's truth, because we're sharing the grace of God, because we're welcoming people into community. Those are things that we want to be.
Yeah.
Right? Like the church should be able to end the counseling epidemic that we have right now.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is people that care enough, that know the love of Jesus, to walk with other people.
Yeah.
Like, most people don't need a counselor.
And this is said by somebody you have a counselor.
I have
currently
a counselor. Yeah.
And I've been to counseling myself. So we're not counseling. We're just saying, if the church could walk alongside of each other more than, maybe that would get rid of counselors as a whole.
Yeah, well, and maybe not get rid of them, because I think there's still going to be times where we need professional help, and I'm probably sick, twisted and sick enough that I do need professional help. but the reality of it is, like, that some of the counseling that's done, or the people that need counseling that maybe don't have access to it, what we need is a friend.
Yeah.
We need somebody who'll sit and listen to us. And that's what the church gets to do. We get to be that place of, right, God's redemption, right? What is God's redemption? Well, it's in eternity with Jesus, but it's also today that our lives might be a little less broken.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was doing student ministry, a family came in and they were like, what all do you have for my kids and my students? And I said, the biggest thing that we have is, when you walk in the door, we're going to know you by name. Mm. We're going to know your students by name, and we're going to have a relationship with them, and we're going to be pointing to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And those, that family ended up joining the church, you know, because that's exactly what they wanted.
Mm.
Sometimes big isn't necessarily what you need. You need a place that was it? Cheers used to say, that knows, everybody knows your name, right?
Yeah. And I think, in a way, like, that's one of the things that I think, get back to, is the church still relevant? One of the ways that it can be still relevant, like, we can't out Disney or out produce, you know, some show that you go to downtown Denver, but like, we can out relationship anybody. the local church should be able to out-relational.
Amen.
And I don't think, for me, that's not a size thing. It's a culture thing. I've heard about churches that are very large that still have a really mesh tight culture. People know somebody. You don't have to know everybody, but you know somebody at church, right? And I think that's what's really important. And I think when we value relationships, and we all have some relationships when we come to church, that's part of what the mission of God is about, is relationships.
So there are two truths that exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about this before we went on the air. So the two truths are, we are in a revival,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily peace, but the church as a whole is in revival.
Yeah, at least tinges of one, yeah.
And that this generation is walking from the church at an alarming rate. Can both of those be true? And how are they not really true right now?
Well, yeah, I think in a way they are both true. I think we're in... for me, I think revivalists can only be seen in the rearview mirror. And so I think we may, my gut and my hope and prayer is that we look back 5 years from now and we see this time as a time of revival.
And by that, we're talking about the what we're seeing on college campuses, the worship.
Yeah. And it's predominantly the leading edge of it is really young men for the first time. So this is the first generation, I think, since they've tracked this, that there's more men in church than women. This emerging generation. And so that's true. But there's also a lot that are losing faith, that have lost faith. My generation, I think some of them came back, but not as many as the generation before. And I think what's cool about and different about this generation is they're not coming back when they have kids. They're coming back in college. And some of them were never even a part of the church. So it's not like they weren't raised in the church. Some of them weren't even raised in the church. And so I think that's going on, but I think there is still I'm going to put it this way. There's lots of options. There's more options than there ever has been. And we talked about this at the start, right? It used to be what you did, you went to church. If you wanted a social club, you went to church. If you wanted to see your friends, you went to church. Right now, none of that exists. And so you have so many other options, including... online, video games, entertainment, gambling, like there's so many other options. So I would say that's why there are in droves, people are leaving the church, choosing different things, but I think they're also coming back too. And so we're in this weird sort of place where there's maybe it's fair to say it's a little bit of reshuffling of the deck. And maybe here's the good news in here. And this is maybe my hope and prayer is that, and this makes me sad, but there's marginal Christians who, as the culture changes, don't see the need to go to church anymore because it's not really supported by the culture. And so while they believed in Jesus and maybe still do, they weren't really highly involved in the life of the church. It's just kind of what they did. And I think we're losing some of them. We're losing some of the cultural church Christians in large in society. But what we're gaining is a younger generation of people that are really fired up and on fire about following Jesus. And again, I don't want to lose anybody from the church. I want everybody to be connected from the church.
Right.
But again, if we're talking about the mission of God isn't just butts in the pew, but it's people sold out for the mission of God, then this reshuffling of the deck might be a net positive for the kingdom of God.
That's what we pray.
Yeah. And again, and I say that with, you know, some sadness. I think whenever anybody leaves the church, it's sad. Whenever anybody isn't connected from the church. But that's my gut of kind of just the big picture of what's going on in Christendom.
Yeah, I like the way you say that, Pastor. I like it a lot. I've stood with you when people have come in and they're visiting and they've been like, yeah, I had to leave my last church because. And there's a genuine sorrow from you. You will say, I am sorry, because that's never a win when somebody's walking away from a church because they've been hurt or because the church closed or is struggling or whatever. And that genuine grief is real and it's honest. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the conversations I've been able to hear you have with them. The flip side on the flip side, we at Peace, and we've talked about this a little bit over this year, have seen more of our past students now as adults coming back. And as you said that about men, it hit me. I think the majority of them are men that are starting to come back to Peace as adults.
With the exception of...
We don't want to say names.
Yeah, there's only... our young people that aren't married that are part of church, it's, for the most part, mostly men. Yeah.
Yes.
And the ones that have come back... Yeah, the ones that have come back, they are actually mostly men. We have more young men than coming by themselves than young women.
Yes.
So if there's any women that want to find a date, maybe, you know, just kidding. We're not turning into that. But I couldn't.
On our next episode.
On our next episode, how to find a date at church? No. But no, I think it's a really cool thing. Like there's this, and I think some of it is, well, I've talked about this in sermons before, but there's been studies that right now men are really feeling marginalized in society. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's true or not, like we can debate about that, but that's how they're feeling. And who comes to church? Throughout history, it hasn't been the up affluent, the ones in power that come to church. Mm-hmm. They have what they need from the world. It's the ones that feel marginalized. They come to church.
Yes.
Now, I can say that without saying women have their struggles and I'm for you and I want you in church. But I think the struggles of men are getting a little more press right now.
Correct.
And maybe so.
Wow. I think we've got a couple of good podcasts for the future.
Yeah.
Marginalization of men and how to find a date at church.
So, let's go. Probably won't do either one.
I know. Maybe. Hopefully people have quit listening at this point.
I know, right? Because we're rambling. Maybe we shouldn't post this one. I don't know.
All right. Pastor, last words. You get the last word on this whole topic of... you know, the church still being relevant. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I think it's just, again, this is from Ephesians, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, right? Like, why do we exist? Why are we relevant? Not because of ourselves, not because of what our church is doing, but because here we get to make God known. It's kind of Harold, one of our favorite guests. Mm. He says that I go to church to see Jesus and people, right? Like that's why we exist, so that you get to see Jesus, not just in your Bible, not just in yourself, but in other people. Like we get to make the manifold wisdom of God known. And we do that outside the church. But by golly, when you walk in this place, that's what we get to do. And what an honor it is to get to be a part of that.
Yeah, I love that. It's an honor to get to be a part of it. Yeah, thank you so much for listening to today's conversation. If you made it to the end, congratulations. You made it through some of our muck of this conversation. But I love that last comment. And I do. I have great hope for the church of the future and the church of today. And praise God that we have such a great faith place to grow and to learn and to be in relationship. Have a great day. We'll see you in our next episode.